Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I am your host of the creative field every second Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. We are here on BBS Radio because of our sponsors and supporters, EDLBC and Edenvale Retreat Center in Abbotsford, BC. For those of you who are not familiar with Edenvale, it is a beautiful oasis that is available for conferences and retreats all year round. And I am blessed to be one of the residents that lives full time here in Edenvale, and so that's where I'm talking to you from. As a retreat, the home cooked food is fabulous. The 117 acres is absolutely beautiful. And the wonderful staff here at Edenvale provide an at-home, warm feeling for guests from all over the world. So please visit Edenvale's website at www.edenvaleretreat.ca and have a look around. There are several special public events as well and lectures, so please visit the calendar on the website and join us if you can. And because this is our first show of the new year, I would like to wish all of our listeners an amazing, creative new year. And I hope that this can be the year where everyone can use their unique creative abilities to enhance their own personal worlds, and by doing that, will assist in raising the global consciousness to a new level, along with the rest of us that are committing to do the very same thing. The creative field is online to bring you a variety of positive solutions and perspectives for the future of humanity on planet Earth. And when people ask, what are we going to do now? The creative field is hoping to provide ideas and wisdom from a variety of guests who are doing things right on the ground to help humanity move forward in positive ways. I would like to invite the listeners to call in and join us on the shows if you have any questions for my guest. And the number to call in toll-free from anywhere in the world is 888-627-008. So I am really, really pleased to introduce our guest tonight, Leslie McIntosh. Leslie is the owner and head instructor of Coastal Academy of Hypnotic Arts and Science in Surrey, British Columbia. Leslie is a leader in the field of hypnosis and hypnotherapy and maintains the highest level of education and integrity through the courses that are offered at Coastal Academy. My personal life took a really fascinating turn when I met Leslie and enrolled to become a clinical hypnotherapist. I entered a field so fascinating and rewarding that I can't even imagine doing anything else now. I'm so excited to be with Leslie to discuss the power of the mind and to bring information that many of you may not know when it comes to the power, the abilities, and the information that's contained in your very own mind. She is my dear friend, my teacher, my mentor, and an all-around great gal. She's loved by all of her students and her friends, and so I'm very, very pleased to welcome Leslie. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Jeannie. Thank you so much for those lovely words.
Well, I feel that right from my heart. I have learned so much from you over the years that I've come to know you that I'm looking for a lot more years ahead where I can learn even more.
Well, the beautiful thing about this is the learning continues always, doesn't it?
Oh, it is. There's no end to it. And, you know, I was thinking that tonight, the beauty is that we can just have a conversation. And while we do that, I'm hoping and I know that we're going to bring some information to people that they can take away tonight and help their lives immediately. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if we could start off by having you share how you became a hypnotherapist and the owner of Coastal Academy.
Well, sure, I'd love to. I fell into hypnosis by accident, actually. It was probably 18 years ago or so. I was living in Edmonton, and I was looking for a meditation class. And, of course, we're talking pre-internet, and if you weren't in the right place at the right time, information just wasn't present for you. It wasn't available. And I couldn't find a meditation class, but what I did find was a self-hypnosis workshop. And I just fell in love with hypnosis right there on the spot. It took me 3 or 4 years before I was in a position or in a place where I could actually learn hypnosis myself. I was working in the corporate world at the time, and I finally got moved to Vancouver Island, and I was fortunate enough to be in the very first class that the Meridian Institute taught, and my mentor, Doris Gray, was teaching her class at the time, and I jumped right in, and away I went, and I never looked back, and that's the school that I happened to buy 8 years ago. I renamed it to the Coastal Academy of Hypnotic Arts and Science, moved it over to the Lower Mainland in BC, and we just haven't looked back.
No, and I'm very lucky to be have my office with the school and learn something every single day that I'm there. I wonder, too, you know and I know that there are a lot of myths about hypnosis. Maybe a lot of people think about hypnosis as stage hypnosis and some of the things like quacking like a chicken and all of that. Mm-hmm. So tell us a couple of those myths and dispel some of those myths so people kind of know that this isn't just, foo-foo.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I'm sure, Jeannie, in your practice that you still get people that will come in and think that you are going to actually be in control of them while they're in hypnosis, or that they might say something or do something while they're in hypnosis that they really might not prefer to do or say. And that a lot of that comes from watching stage hypnosis, where they see people up on the stage doing silly things, and they think that those people are not in control. And that's, I think, the biggest myth that people have about hypnosis, and that's out there about hypnosis, and the belief that that's possible. In fact, hypnosis is probably the most empowering modality for healing, because all the hypnotherapist is the guide, and all we do is guide people into a lovely deep relaxation. They're totally in control. They know exactly what they're thinking, doing, saying. But with a lot of the barriers down, with access right to the subconscious mind, they have the opportunity then to make the kind of changes that they want to make, and they get to choose what they are, and they get to make them, which is why it's so empowering. This old belief, or this misperception about hypnosis, that people who are in hypnosis are not in control, is just that. It's a myth. It's completely untrue and unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And people in hypnosis are completely aware of what they're doing, and they remember things. I still get people coming in and saying, well, can I record this because I won't hear any of it? Oh, well, yeah, you sure will hear it all, and you'll remember it all, because you're not unconscious. You're simply in an altered state of deep relaxation, and you'll remember everything, and they do. And so I think this is probably the biggest myth that's still out there, is that those people up on that stage who are actually doing silly things that the majority of the audience would believe that nobody in their right mind would do, so therefore those people must be being controlled by that stage hypnotist. Those people that are up there doing those silly things are the kind of people that would do those things at a party, or if they were with friends or anything anyway, and they know exactly what they're doing.
Oh, sure, and they're in the state of mind that says, come on, let's have some fun.
Calm.
Yeah, that's right.
One.
Yeah.
They're certainly up there with their consent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're having fun, and they are up there, and they don't mind entertaining the crowd, which is why they're willing to do the silly things. If those silly things they were doing were outside of their moral values or beliefs, they wouldn't do them. They just would not do them.
No. And there is a world of difference between stage hypnosis and hypnotherapy.
Absolutely. Stage hypnosis, the intent behind stage hypnosis is pure entertainment. When someone is being hypnotized by a stage hypnotist, it's strictly for entertainment purposes, and they're doing silly things, and they are behaving in ways that are designed to entertain the audience. And because they will respond quickly to what the stage hypnotist is saying, and it appears to the audience that they have no control, and it appears to the audience that they don't know what they're doing, that's part of what makes it so funny for the audience. But when you're actually in a position where you understand with it that they know exactly what they're doing, although a lot of the routines that the stage hypnotist has down pat are quite entertaining, you'll no longer be thinking that this person up there doesn't really know what they're doing or that they don't have any choice and the stage hypnotist is making them do it. With hypnotherapy, our intent is to allow people to heal and to help them to heal themselves. So they are complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have great respect for good stage hypnotists because they have kept hypnosis alive for a very long time. And really, we owe them a lot. What I would like to see more of the stage hypnotists doing is a little bit more explanation and helping the audience to understand that they really are not taking control of these people's minds.
No, exactly. Maybe
the other, I think, biggest myth about hypnosis that I see is that every once in a while and in with clients that will come in, I'll get questions that make me think that these people have had some sort of feeling that hypnosis might be dangerous. And this is also coming from total misconceptions and misperceptions. And I like to talk about hypnosis being no more dangerous than a hot red sports car. There's nothing dangerous about the sports car. It's the driver. And so my word to people who are looking for hypnosis is that they make sure that whoever they are going to, whatever hypnotherapist they're going to for hypnosis, is well-trained, that they are certified, that they are not a do-it-yourself hypnotherapist, that they have, really spent some time learning their craft and learning and treating their craft with professionalism and respect. And so, people like yourself, Janie, are the kind of hypnotherapist that I would recommend that people see. So that's one thing I want to make sure that people understand is that hypnosis is not dangerous. There's no danger in hypnosis. The only danger is in having a hypnotherapist that is not good at their craft and their science. And that's no different than choosing a doctor or a naturopath or a counselor. You need to do your own research and make sure that the person that you're doing your healing with is someone that you intuitively know is the right person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to give a little bit of information at the end of the show on how people might be able to register to become a hypnotherapist and contact the school if they're looking for anyone in the field, in their area, that the school might recommend for them.
Absolutely. We're happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, that as hypnotherapists, those of us that are highly trained from the school, we do go out and we give talks to different groups to educate them about how the mind works. Yeah. And it's amazing, even though before I signed up and for the course and changed my life, I thought that I knew a little bit about hypnosis.
Uh-huh.
And I assumed the day one of that course, my jaw dropped when I started to be taught just how our mind works and what the potential is that's within our minds for change and for there's nothing that is within the mind that can't be changed and improved and healed, like you were talking about. So I wondered if you could please tell the listeners about the mind, just a brief kind of overview of the mind and what each part of that mind does and what part is really responsible for the lives that we live.
Well, sure. And to start with, for anybody who thinks that the mind is in the brain, this won't make a lot of sense. To me, the mind is the all-encompassing spirit that we are. It's not necessarily that piece of hardware that's in our head. And so I'd like to first off say that the mind is everything we are is the mind. Mind is all of that nebulous stuff that we can't touch or put our finger on. And yet that mind is what drives that physical body. So if you can think about, I'll just break it down into two or three different parts. And if you'll think about the conscious mind first, and there's a lot of misnomers about behaving consciously, being conscious, living consciously. The conscious mind, though, is a very minor part of our mind. And it is maybe like 5% out of 100%. And that tiny little 5% of our mind really does only a couple of things. It receives all of the information units that we get in a day and processes them. They just whip through that conscious mind fairly quickly. But our conscious mind really is only designed to protect our physical body, and it's all factual and logical. That's all it is. So when someone asks you what 2 + 2 is, you quickly come up with the answer 4. That's factual, it's logical, it doesn't take any kind of emotional any emotional energy to answer that question. Or if you go to step out on the street and you look down the road and you see, oh, there's a car coming and it's coming fairly quickly, I don't have enough time to cross the street, then that's a conscious decision. You stop and wait till the car goes by, because if you stepped out, you know that logically that car would hit you. Those parts of that conscious mind, that's all that conscious mind does. Now, where we're driven, where all of our behaviors and our reactions come from, is subconscious, the kinds of things we don't really know we're feeling and thinking, and we don't really know what's driving us and pushing us. And that subconscious mind is who we are. And the subconscious mind is the emotional mind. Every emotion that we have is based in whatever is present, planted, has been seeded into our subconscious mind. And I don't like to call it the unconscious mind, because I prefer the term subconscious. Whenever I hear the term unconscious mind, I always think that of, you know, people thinking or that you don't know, or that you can't remember, or that you'll be unconscious and won't know anything. So I always prefer to use the term subconscious, because we do know we're behaving that way. We do know we're reacting that way to our mother when she talks to us that way. We do know that every time we see that snake, we're terrified, even though logically that's ridiculous. So we know what's happening, but we have no choice about the way it happens, because it's all programmed in front of us, into us, rather. When we are operating from that subconscious mind, where all of our values are and our emotions and our beliefs, and for those listeners that believe in past lives, all the information attached to past lives, it's all there in the subconscious. The problem is that when there's something negative that's programmed in there, like that fear of snakes or that negative reaction every time our mother talks to us, we can't do anything about it, because we don't have access to that subconscious mind. It's all locked up tight. And the only way we can get at it is to be in an altered state, a state of hypnosis or a state of very deep meditation. And so when we are walking around in our daily lives, we don't actually have a choice about how we react to things. We can change our behavior. We can change and choose to do something different when we get that negative feeling bubble up inside of us, but we can't stop the negative feelings, because they're all deep down there in the subconscious mind. So there are
part of our mind keeps us breathing and
That's our primitive mind. That's the part of our mind that knows that if we don't inhale and breathe in oxygen, that this physical body will die. And that operates totally, doesn't matter how we're programmed, doesn't matter what information we have in our subconscious mind or what's happening to our conscious mind, that's more important and takes over above and beyond anything else if it's in danger of not being able to protect us from, for living, then that will step in and make us do things. But the normal day-to-day things and the day-to-day reactions we have all comes from the subconscious mind. So, for instance, when a child is born, in fact, before a child is born, when a child's in the womb, they are completely wide open vessels. If you think about the mind, get an image in your mind of the mind being like a big pail. When we are an adult, there is a solid sealed divider between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. No new information can get into the subconscious mind unless it happens when we're in an altered state and bypasses the barrier between the two. Little children have no barriers. So adults are continually filling up this pail, dropping all these pieces of information. Or if you're a computer whiz, it's like loading software into a computer. You get a nice big blank computer hard drive, and then you start loading software, and the software you want the computer to behave in a certain way, you load in a certain type of software. And it's the same thing with children. When we load in anger and hatred and violence, and we load in disrespect and hurt and feelings of being unloved into a child, they'll stay there forever. Because once they get to the age of 3, 5, 6, and that subconscious is all sealed up, it requires a lot of work to make changes after that point in time for a child. The child that we load up with all of the possibilities of life, the child we load up with information about how loved they are, about how smart they are, about how healthy they are and how healthy they will always be, and information about how beautiful hearts they have and how they can do anything they want, and teaching them respect and teaching them that you're proud of them. All of those good things that you want your children to be as adults, all that is required is to load them up with that when they're children. It sounds really simple, doesn't it?
And you know what, Leslie, when it gets right to it, it is, but we didn't know that.
We didn't know that.
We didn't, and when I took the course to become a clinical hypnotherapist, I don't know how many times I went, oh my God.
What did I do to my kids?
I had known my children what I know now, and it really had an impact on me, because it is when you know that you can simply say to a child, you are great. You are capable of doing anything you wish. You're brilliant. You're wonderful. You're creative. That every word like that goes into a little child stays there for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And when That's they right. are up against life and challenged with life, those programs are the programs that they run.
That's right.
Those are the beliefs that they have. And in the same way, and we're talking about the children, we used to be those little children. And we are just as programmed with other people's ideas as anyone
absolutely.
Else.
That's why I have a personal belief about our education system. I think that we've got it all backwards in our world. I believe that we should be spending the most money and putting the most emphasis on the people who look after children when they're small. Those early elementary school teachers, the daycare workers, because they are creating the future adults of the world.
Absolutely. I think that many of us can think back to a teacher in our life that either inspired us or told us we were stupid and left us with that idea.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the number of clients that I've had whose problems, you know, problems like self-sabotage or inability to learn or test anxiety or things like that. I can't even begin to tell you how many of those have come from early childhood teachers, even daycare workers, kindergarten teachers, first grade teachers.
And you know, now it seems that things, of course, with every generation or two, things do change. But I'm noticing, I have 7 grandchildren and a great-grandchild now, and I've been noticing that as each one of those children is born, they're born with their eyes wide open and they're looking right in your face.
Yeah.
They have come with such gifts and such abilities and a sense of freedom within, and then you send them to school and they tell you that they're attention deficit.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're bored stiff.
Yeah, they're bored stiff. They know that things are not the way they should be here in the world, so they're already frustrated. They're feeling like misfits because their vibrations are higher than a lot of the rest of the world, and so they're already feeling like they don't belong. And it's very frustrating for these kids, and they are so aware, and they are such, if you nurture these new beautiful souls that are coming in, they just make absolutely amazingly bright children. And I think that there are too many people out there who are getting frustrated, parents getting frustrated by the fact that their kids don't fit into the square hole that they want them to fit into, or that somebody at school wants them to fit into. And it's frustrating for the parents, and it's frustrating for the teachers. And I really think that we need to focus and spend a lot more money and time at that end of the schooling for children, because they are, the kids that are coming now, like you say, Jeannie, they are so, so wise. They're coming with such a beautiful high vibration. And we're trying to, or we as in a lot of society, are trying to smother it.
Yeah, I know. And as you know, in my practice, I was very lucky to have a few children in the very beginning of my practice, which just put me right in love with working with them.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of work with children.
Oh, it's just fantastic. And hypnotherapy is so effective with children in so many ways because, like you say, for the first 6, 8, 10, depending on the child, years of their life, they're like an open computer waiting for the programming.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that kids up to the age of 3 are completely wide open. Kids between 3 and 6 are still wide open a good percentage of the time. And kids even between 6, even as high as 11, are wide open, you know, quite often. And so they're so easy to make changes because they haven't got this lifetime of misconceptions and this lifetime of sort of negative, unsuccessful experiences. So even if they do have challenges, it's so easy to work with them because they accept hypnosis quickly and they don't have a whole lifetime of things to change. They've only got a few years of things to change.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got programs after programs building up in them. And, you know, before we move on from talking about children, I was hoping that we might give some of the young parents or the parents or the grandparents. Now, just because you might not have a young child, I can surely say that you're going to run into a young child somewhere. It's either
That's
your
right.
friend's child or your grandchild or the kid that lives down the street.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the opportunity to say something to that child, like I was driving home from work the other day and I saw these two little boys on the street and they were playing hockey. So, of course, they had to pull their little net away and, and get out of the way so the car could go by. And I just thought as I pulled up to him, this one little boy looked like he was about 7 or 8. And I just slowly pulled the car just past him, and I opened the window and I said, "Man, you are great at that." And that kid's face just beamed. I know, and you know, Leslie, that that information is going to stay in that kid till the day he leaves the planet.
That's right. And all he needs to do is hear it a few more times, and he'll be flying.
You bet.
And there's nothing that we can't do by changing the mind.
No, and basically, in the right hands, like you were talking about before,
mm-hmm.
there is all the possibility in the world to change some of those programs that might have been running in us for 40 years. Like you say,
yes.
Yeah.
60
and maybe
years.
You can explain just briefly a little bit of the process of how that works.
Well, when we put someone into what we call the altered state, into hypnosis, all we're doing is relaxing the barrier between the conscious and the subconscious mind so that we have access to actually get through. We have access. It's like, if you can imagine, pushing the conscious mind out of the way so that we have a completely open access to the subconscious, if that's a better visual for you. And once we can push that conscious mind out of the way and push that barrier away, then we can just get right in there. And the beauty of hypnosis is that we just ask the subconscious mind what it needs, why it's running. Which program are you running that's making you do these negative things you don't want to do? Let's go and find that part that's making you angry all the time. And we just go right in there, and the subconscious mind has all the information. We don't have to analyze. We don't have to diagnose. We just go right in and ask the subconscious mind what we need to do. Where's that faulty program? Where did that come from? Take us back to where that started, and let's change and fix that. And the reason that we can actually make these changes so easily is because the subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between what's real and what you imagine. So we can have people choose how they want to rewrite their stories, how they want to have what outcomes do they want to have in their life. Now, they're never going to forget the real facts, but by having them rewrite stories and do new visualizations and have discussions with the parts that are creating problems and get the parts to agree to stop doing that, we can make changes of any kind. And it's all being done by the client. It's why it's so empowering.
Exactly that. Like I say to the client, you're driving the car and I'm reading the map.
Yes.
Want to get to California? I'm going to tell you the directions. You go ahead and drive there.
Yes. And the nice thing is that hypnosis can be done in so many different ways. It can be done quickly. It can be done, when I'm talking about the hypnosis, I'm talking about the technique of putting someone into an altered state. You can put someone into that altered state in 10 seconds, 15 seconds, or you can put them into that altered state gradually over, 2 or 3 minutes. And it doesn't really matter. It's whatever's comfortable and whatever kind of techniques and whatever kinds of skills that the hypnotist wants to use and based on whatever the client's comfortable with. But the good news is that it doesn't matter what kind of hypnosis the hypnotherapist uses to get the client into that altered state. The real important stuff comes once the client's already in that altered state.
Yes, and that's where the training is necessary.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. I may have heard a tone that somebody is on the line, and if there is, we'll have the caller speak to us now.
There's nobody on the line.
Is someone there on the line?
No, there's nobody on the line.
No, maybe not. They might have hung up. But again, I'd like to welcome everybody to call and ask Leslie any questions that you have regarding hypnosis and hypnotherapy just by calling 1-888-627-6008. You know, I there's so many different areas that hypnotherapy can help people. It's as many people who have as many thoughts in their mind and beliefs are the different ways that hypnosis can help hypnotherapy.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
We have people who come in for hypnosis for simple stress relief. We have people who come in for hypnosis who have been suffering a lifetime of anxiety. We have people who come in for grief, anybody who's experienced a recent trauma. We have people who are dealing with anger issues and they don't know why they're angry. It could be fears. You know, there are people with all kinds of different fears out there that have been trying to stuff them down for years and trying to pretend they don't have these fears and think there's something wrong with them because they have these fears. People without absolute phobias. And then you get your people who are just simply not able to get sort of past the blocks they've set up for themselves. You know, people who self-sabotage themselves in business or who always get to a certain place in a relationship and then do something to destroy the relationship. And the problem with all of these things is that people are always beating themselves up for this. What they don't understand is that this program that's running in their subconscious mind, they have no choice. That's how the program was set up, and that's how the program's going to run. And that's just the way it is.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I was listening to a lecture from Bruce Lipton the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of you know, and I know you did, Leslie, that Bruce Lipton is probably one of the world's authorities on the understanding of the human self. And after 40 years of teaching professors about the fact that things are hereditary, he found out that, no, they aren't. And that the cell, in fact, has little antennas. And what it does is it reads the environment, sends the information into the subconscious that instantly plays that program, and plays it exactly the same as it always has. Like you said, they have no choice.
No. So these cells, these little antennas, suddenly someone is standing up in front of a group of their peers, and they're supposed to be making a presentation, and all of a sudden they look around and they see the people, and people are waiting for them to talk, and all of a sudden they can't breathe. They're in a cold sweat. They feel like they're going to vomit. They're stuttering and stammering. They can't get the words out. It's because there's some sort of program running in that subconscious mind that says that speaking out is dangerous. And it could be as simply something as simple as a grade one teacher scolding a child for answering a question incorrectly. It could be something as severe as the child who was slapped by a parent every time they tried to talk back. We really never, ever know until we get inside the subconscious and ask the subconscious to take us to wherever this started. But that person has no choice as to how that subconscious mind takes over when they get into that position.
Yeah, and you know, one of the biggest reasons, too, that you and I find it valuable to tell people this information is that we're trying to get humanity to create a positive world, to
That's
stop
right.
doing the things that don't work. We've
mm-hmm.
learned a certain amount over history, and we know what doesn't work. But the bottom line is, how are you going to create a positive world when you're running programs of negative emotional belief systems that will always get in your way?
That's right.
Because
and
if something good happens, because you've got the program running, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. This can't possibly be good.
That's right.
And on and on.
As the mind is the largest environment around our physical body, those negative programs that we're running are very often hurting our physical bodies too. And when we're hurting our minds and our bodies, when we're hurting ourselves all the time with that negative, those negative feelings, that negative self-talk, that negative environment, and you know, you hear people every once in a while say, well, I'd like to be more positive, but I just don't know how. Well, you know, they can stop beating themselves up because there's probably all kinds of things in their programming that's making them, you know, absorbed and keep repeating to themselves all this negative information. But when you have people who are physically beating themselves up, emotionally, mentally beating themselves up, it's pretty hard for them to look at the rest of the world and think about doing whatever they can to raise awareness and to increase the love and the vibration of the rest of the world when they can't get out of their own rut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's many things that we can do. Everything from if it's something holding you back that much that you can't function in your life, or it stops you from your highest desires or visions, then knowing what I know now, I would say to anyone that I know and love, go see a trained hypnotherapist.
Yes.
It will. It's painless. It's positive. It has no pills, and it has no negative side effects.
That's
you can
right.
only go up from there. And some of the things that we can do is to nurture the mind. And you know, Leslie, I guess not everybody comes to a hypnotherapist unless, again, if you've got something holding you back that much, then do that and free yourself, because it's very simple to do that.
That's right.
In the meantime, I tell people that when you're being held back, or if something's stopping you, like your life's going on pretty good, but every time you think of doing a certain thing, something stops you. It's important to know that the thing that's stopping you is just a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of you. And so I've gotten in the habit of saying to my parts, wait a minute, I don't want you to stop me now. I need you to do another job. And even if people stop and think and address those ideas, they can help themselves a lot, can't they?
That's right. And that's something that we didn't address, and I really do want to address, Jeannie, is that all of these negative things that are running through us, they're not running through us because our subconscious mind is bad, or because it's warped, or because it's not working, or because it's a disaster. It's running through us because the subconscious mind has a job to do, and that job is to protect us. And so if it's making us afraid of something, it's making us afraid because it thinks that it needs to protect us from something. If it's making us stop moving forward in our career, then it's doing so because it thinks it's protecting us. The problem is that all those parts that are doing those things, they're still children. They don't know that we're past that point. They don't know that we're adults now. They don't know that they don't have to do that anymore. So all we have to do is go in and remind them that, hey, we don't have to protect this person like this anymore. They're adults and they can look after themselves now. And boom, they're happy to. So I don't want people ever to think that their subconscious mind is ever negative or bad or not right. It simply is what it is, and it's always doing what it does to protect us.
Yeah, serving
and protect.
Yeah,
serve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's more than happy to make changes to improve your life. All it needs is the right direction.
And you just hit it on the head there as a therapist and watching that, how beautiful it is when the subconscious mind goes, you mean that I can do something better for Susie? I'm
mm-hmm.
in.
That's right.
As soon as you make that suggestion that, you know how you can serve her better? She doesn't need you to protect her this way. Here's what you can do. What can you do? And it changes their life right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
and
the subconscious mind is always...
Yep.
Sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The subconscious mind is always doing everything it can to do what we want done. It just will do whatever we want it to do. As long as it isn't going to hurt us in the opinion of the subconscious mind, because it has opinions based on what happened to us or what we did or what it heard when we were children. And so it's very simple to change, but it just requires being in the altered state to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I always like to talk just briefly for a second about Jeannie, is that the piece that's missing from things like The Secret is the fact that you can do affirmations and visualizations all you like, but you need to be in the altered state to do it so that the subconscious mind can receive that new message.
Absolutely, and you know, we've talked before about how some of these personal empowerment programs where everybody shows up and they say, you're going to be rich, you're going to be famous, you're going to do this and that, and two guys sitting side by side, they can be the same age, the same financial background, the same education, the same intelligence. One guy goes off and becomes a millionaire, and the other guy falls apart in 2 days. It's because he really wants to get there, but like you said earlier, he has no choice because his subconscious mind has got a bunch of programs that say, you're never going to be rich. You can't do that.
Yep.
Or filthy money, or whatever is running from the people that were there in the early part of his life.
That's right.
So, and we wonder, you know, he can go out and do the same thing, but all of a sudden, he or she caves in, and they have no choice, and they wonder why. They spend thousands of dollars trying to learn how to be successful or be popular or to be able to speak, and it doesn't work.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that is probably helpful to your listeners to know is that for any issue that someone is struggling with, we usually say anywhere from 3 to 6 sessions will sort that problem out for the average person. For some people, it'll be 2 sessions. For some people, it'll be 6. It'll depend how many of these negative programs are running, how many of these programs that are preventing them from achieving the things they want to achieve that are running around that issue. So for people who are wondering how long it takes, I just thought I would pass that on.
Yes, and statistically, up against other modalities that work with the mind, it's the number one quickest way.
Oh, you bet, it's very quick.
A long shot. For sure.
Very quick.
One thing that we do know, too, is if people learn how to use self-hypnosis, or at least take the time in life to meditate, and this is not some Eastern, far-out religious thing. This is really the way to relax the mind and get the mind into a state where it can accept a lot of positive information that it can't in the conscious state. Isn't that right?
Exactly. That's correct.
Another thing that people, we get a lot of with our clients is anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
This world is very stressful and people are running as fast as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted people to know that in stress or anxiety or depression, hypnotherapy can be extremely, extremely effective for them.
Yes.
Another thing I just want to talk on briefly is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of having that mind that you were speaking about, the part that that has the barrier there, we'll call it the critical mind, it needs to sleep.
Well, that's absolutely right. If the mind becomes so overloaded with new message units and can't process them, can't sort them, can't decide whether they are true or not, whether they match what's in the subconscious mind or whether they need to be tossed out, this part, this barrier part I was talking about, that the critical mind can't process any of that information until the client's in a deep sleep or in a state of hypnosis. And this deep sleep is not just a drug sleep, because a drug sleep doesn't allow the brain waves to slow down enough to be into a deep delta sleep. It's a deep delta sleep, and the average, I think the stats are something like the average North American gets about an hour and a half of delta sleep, and they really can't do very well without a minimum of 4 hours of delta sleep, and that's the deepest part of the sleep cycles. So sleep is absolutely critical to the mind, and when the mind can't rest, when the person doesn't get nice deep sleep, then what happens is the mind becomes so overloaded that the anxiety will begin. And when the anxiety has been there long enough and nothing changes, very often depression then will then set in. And sometimes it's as simple as the person hasn't been sleeping properly.
Yeah, we certainly are a sleep-deprived society, that is for sure. And also, in that deep delta sleep, it gives the body the opportunity to heal. That's
uh-huh.
when the body does the healing.
That's right.
So, and also, that's another blessing of hypnotherapy, is that in the altered state, in that deep relaxed state, you give the body the same opportunity to heal 10 times faster than in any other way, because it allows the natural, universal laws of the body to work perfectly.
Yes.
It's designed to do that. So every time we have a client and they finish their session, they feel so much better.
Oh, because we've just rested their whole mind. We've just let their whole mind sort and sift and dump and clear, and they feel like a new person.
Yes. And again, with the idea of humanity moving forward into a positive future,
that's
I think it's
mentioned.
Time really part of taking stock of humanity itself and how what our part is in it. If there's something that's holding you back out there in your life, and you know it, because it's a fear, it puts a lump in your throat or a knot in your stomach or a headache in your head to try to stop you.
Or if you feel like you're not worthy of doing those wonderful things, or that you don't have the right gifts, or you think that that's for other people, but you're not that smart or not that bright or not that good. That's all just stuff that was dropped in that subconscious mind, and none of it's true.
No. And you know, when people find out that the subconscious mind...
Betty on line three.
The subconscious mind holds every tiny bit of information it ever learned. It is so wise, it's beyond belief, and that is your mind.
Yes.
You got the little 5 percenter, what I call the secretary, God bless her soul. She's saving you from getting run over in traffic, but she's not the boss.
That's right.
She does a wonderful job at what she does, but what happens is we give our conscious mind way too much airtime.
Yeah.
We go over and ruminate and think about and chew over and over and say the same things over and over. And it takes us nowhere. It's like treading water.
Mm-hmm. Always trying to find a logical reason.
Yeah. We have Betty on the line. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. I just wanted to let you both know that this is one of the most informative, uplifting, creative session that I've ever had. You've really touched on a lot of things that I think are questions that are sort of lurking in people's minds, you know, because I can go very easily into meditation, but I didn't know that was really key, Leslie, what you said about the secret, because I do a lot of affirmations and things like that. But the connection that you made, I thought, oh, that makes so much sense. So
yeah.
I am really glad that the both of you were so informative and creating such a clear picture of just how the mind works and what we can do ourselves to change it. And when you're going to the thing about depression, I think that that's something, too, that you and Leslie could sort of delve into a little bit more, because there's a lot of people out there that have all sorts of issues that are going on and with stress and jobs and economy and everything else, and I think that would be really great for you to touch on that a little bit more. But I just wanted to say thank you to you both.
Thank you, Betty.
You're welcome. Have a great night. Love you.
We love you, too. Before we finish our time together, my gosh, that went fast, Leslie.
It sure did.
I mean, we could talk for hours about
this. We could be here all night, Jeannie.
Yeah, we could. And hey, I suggest we come back together and give people more information, because it is never-ending. And like
yes.
you said earlier, just this work, I feel so blessed.
Yes, I do too, every day.
My, I know you do too, don't you?
I do every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day that I stand in that class and I see all the amazing people that are learning these skills and this science and this art and going out and changing lives, I just feel so blessed to be part of that.
Absolutely, and as you know, there's a lot of medical professionals now that are coming to the school for training.
That's right.
Because when people really know the information, it's only lack of information that gives people those ideas or those myths.
That's correct.
When you have the education and you realize the power of this, it's starting to really move out into the field of healing and have traditional doctors and other types of doctors come and learn these tools so that they can help their patients. Because when a person gets to the point where all they can have is a pill, there is somewhere to go past that.
There is.
Absolutely.
There are further options.
There certainly are. So before we wrap up the evening, I'd like you to let our listeners know how they might be able to become a hypnotherapist.
Well, if you have a desire to make a difference in the world, if you are the kind of person who likes to learn, who has an open mind, who, like Jeannie says, is prepared to be jaw-dropped at how amazing this work is, anybody like this who's willing to dedicate some time to it, then I'm more than delighted to speak with them. I'm happy to talk to them anytime. If they are interested in the school, the address for the school, the website is www.coastalacademy.ca. That's coastalacademy.ca. And there's a pre-registration form on there that they can fill out. They can ask any questions that they have. They can email us at the school, and someone will get right back to them very quickly. And we're, you know, very happy to hear from people, even if they are just curious or just have questions to ask.
So, mm-hmm. And if they have anything that is challenging them in their life and they want to know if hypnotherapy can help them, phone anytime.
Yes. And our telephone number is 604-542-1914. And they're most welcome to call anytime. If they're calling from out of province, there's a 1-800 number right on the website. And if you're choosing to use hypnosis, hypnotherapy as a healing modality, and you live somewhere and don't know of any people or don't know how to find a hypnotherapist, don't hesitate to call us because we have hypnotherapists all over, and I'm happy to refer you to hypnotherapists as well.
Wonderful. And I guess while we're at it, I'll give them my website as well.
Mm-hmm.
My practice is called West Coast Hypnosis, and that's at www.westcoasthypnosis.ca. And I'm also available to answer any of your questions. I can be reached at 778-887-7331. I'd like to think that I specialize with children, so if you have any questions at all about your children or some of the challenges that they are facing in school or in their lives, please don't hesitate to phone me, and I can give you some information that maybe can really help you as you're moving through that with your child.
And Jeannie, you're also doing a lot of work with fertility and childbirth right now too, aren't you?
Yes. Fertility and childbirth, a very, very effective way for fertility. If you have fertility issues or questions about wanting to have a child and you're challenged through that, please give us a call at the school or, again, at my number. And we're very, very, very happy to help you with that.
Great.
Leslie, it has been wonderful. I am so glad we've had this opportunity to share what we know, and we've just touched the tip of the iceberg.
We sure have, Jeannie. And I do so appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on your show. Anytime that we can educate people to know that there are alternative ways to accomplish what they'd like to accomplish in life, and hypnotherapy is so quick and so easy, and I'm just so delighted that, you know, a whole bunch more people tonight will now know that.
Yes, they will. Thank you so much, Leslie, and thank you for changing my life. I learned so much from you every single day.
Thank you, Jeannie.
All right, my dear, and we shall see each other very soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.